Hey everyone, welcome to episode 46 of Sits and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I am here with Krista, as usual. How you doing, Krista?
Not too bad, Casey. Yourself?
I'm doing...
the hole.
There's a hole in my ceiling because there's a giant bee's nest that, it's not a living bee's nest, so like I didn't die.
Fine.
But my ceiling just collapsed. Other than that, like, I'm good. We are here. We're ready to talk about the Darth Vader comic that came out last week. I'm excited. I got my popcorn. I'm ready to go.
I got a Cap'n Crunch. Oops, just berries.
Wait, Cap'n Crunch, like, just the berries?
Yeah.
Nice. I went grocery shopping tonight, and I didn't buy any of it, but I saw that they had, like, drumstick cereal. Like, you know, like the drumstick, like the ice cream cones?
I saw that yesterday when I went shopping.
They had that, and then they had Hershey's Kisses cereal, which I'm gonna end up buying, like, both of them one day. No, Hershey's Kisses don't do it for you?
I like Hershey's Kisses. I just feel like as a candy, I mean, as a cereal, it doesn't need to happen.
The only cereal I have ever seen where I was like, that's unnecessary, that's disgusting, that's like an abomination, was Sour Patch Kid cereal.
I agree 100%.
Like,
100%.
Just the thought of like a sour cereal with milk, just like, it turns my stomach.
It's gross. I've never had it, but it just, I never want to try it and to experience it.
It just looks
like one of those things that somebody was hitting the weed a little too hard.
Someone would have to pay me like a significant amount of money to try that.
I mean, for me, if you paid me $50, I would try it.
Me too. I mean, that's like a significant amount of money for me. So that's like one can of paint for my house.
That's like some groceries for me for a couple days.
Yeah.
A week.
Yeah. All right.
So
this Darth
Star Vader. Wars, the thing we actually come on here to talk about.
So, okay, now that we're past the cereal segment of our podcast. Okay, so first, I got to say, going into this, I wasn't sure. I mean, like, I wasn't very excited about it. Like, I came in with the mindset of, like, why do we need another Darth Vader comic? This is, like, this would be, like, the fourth or fifth Vader comic since Disney bought Lucasfilm. I was like, do we really need any other, like, Darth Vader stories? And, like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's exactly how I felt too. I think at some point in one of our podcasts, me and you kind of went on a mini rant about how we were getting yet another Darth Vader comic. We were not happy, to
no,
say the least.
No, but I got to say, like, with this first issue, I was pretty blown away by it. I feel like every Darth Vader comic we've gotten up until this point, it was about Darth Vader becoming more and more evil. Which, like, we've gotten that story so many times. But, like, now we're getting a Darth Vader comic where I think that we're going to see him start to get broken down. And he's going to get to the point where, like, Luke can turn him on the Death Star. Like, turn him back to, like, the light side. So, like, I'm excited to see, like, where this story takes Darth Vader. Because we have not gotten that story yet.
I think for me, I think when we finally, I think it was maybe, what, 2 weeks ago or so, I sent you a link where it was talking about how the second issue of this really, like, kind of dwells into him and how he handled with, like, the grief of Padme and stuff like that. And I told you I was super pumped if they were actually going to really look at that side of Vader, because that is, in my opinion, something we have not gotten, really. I mean, outside of the final scene in Revenge of the Sith, basically, where he's like, what of Padme and Palpatine's, like, it seems in your rage you killed her. And he gets all, breaks things, all Frankenstein-like. I don't think we've actually gotten to see how he processes and deals with the fact that, you know, she died and ultimately he thinks he killed her. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see. I'm also just really interested to see him actually have to go back and face the part of his past where he was Anakin.
And that's something that, like, I kind of felt as I was reading this issue that, like, I felt like I was seeing Anakin more than, like, any other time that I've ever seen Darth Vader in the suit. It's like the dark Anakin. It's like the Anakin that, like, loses his temper and kills all the sand people Anakin, but it was Anakin.
Exactly. Like, I think in so much that we see of Vader, we're seeing him be portrayed in a manner where it's like you said, it's just him getting darker and darker and darker, where we kind of see him burying Anakin Skywalker deeper and deeper and deeper and just going headfirst into, you know, being Darth Vader, like completely, as far as like in his mind, it's almost like Obi-Wan said, yes, Anakin Skywalker died, Darth Vader killed him. We've seen that play out. It's going to be interesting, I think, to see what happens when, you know, the skeletons in your closet start to kind of creep back out.
And there were a ton of prequel references in this comic. Like, if you're a fan of the prequels, this was the story for you. Because, like, you know, he goes back to Tatooine. He visits, like, the Lars homestead. Makes, like, a lot of references to, like, Shmi and then, like, Owen and Aunt Beru. And then, like, there is that callback to, like, when he killed the sand people. You get to see, you know, like, Yoda and Padme. And just, like, one of the shots that I really liked was they kind of, like, took the shot of, like, Luke falling down the shaft on Cloud City and, like, juxtaposed that with, like, Padme falling farther from Vader. Like, that was, like, some, like, a great series of panels.
Yes, I was definitely going to point that out if you didn't point that out, because I actually really absolutely loved those panels. I think, like, when you pointed out the reference to Shmi and to Lars and stuff like that, I liked the scene. The droid that's with him the entire time, he's basically narrating the story of the Skywalkers to Darth Vader, and just some of the comments that Vader makes, it's almost like, it's like when you're watching, like when you know something, but you don't want the other person doesn't know, you know, and you're just like, yeah, I know, surprising, isn't it? Like, dumb stuff like that. I enjoyed that juxtaposition.
And I imagine the droid's going to play a lot into this story. Because, like, Greg Pak set it up with the way, like, Vader rewired him. So if he shares, like, any part of this mission, he's going to self-destruct. So, like, that leaves a pretty large window for this droid to, like, really become involved in the story and really, like, kind of give, like, a running commentary on Anakin and Padme.
The other thing that's kind of neat, too, is it does kind of harken back to the Anakin that we know in the prequels, where he did have that camaraderie and relation, like, friendly relationship with droids. You saw it with 3PO and with R2-D2. So it kind of almost makes sense that if we're getting a Vader comic centered upon, you know, Anakin as Vader, and in that aspect of Vader, it almost makes sense that you kind of have a droid paired up with him in a way.
It's kind of interesting that until this point, we never really saw Vader interact with a droid before. Like, that was a part of Anakin that he left behind, and now, as we're inching closer to Anakin, I think it's interesting that we do see him interact with the droid. And, you know, that's just, like, another sign that, like, where Vader's story is going now.
Yeah, and I liked while we're on the topic of, you know, them being on Tatooine is when he finds the gravestones. And like he the droid's like, oh, it looks like they were purposely buried and stuff. And then he's like, oh, the droid goes to Vader, like, I thought maybe you would like to desecrate the graves. And how Vader's response is just him standing there, and he like grunts and then uses the Force to like blow the sand and the droid all around him, and like it leaves the then it immediately, like you said, cuts to us, like we get another flashback scene to him right after Shmi dies with Padme talking to him and everything. And then that immediately parlays into him murdering a bunch of people. So the rage is still there. So it's still Anakin at its core. It's just, I don't know. I think it's interesting that he's actually now having to face all of these things again.
I thought that was an interesting touch with the headstone, because I've always wondered, like, because you can't see it in A New Hope. I always kind of wondered where it went. So
makes sense, though.
I kind of like how they went with, like, them hiding it so, you know, like, no one would know it was there.
So Luke would never look.
Well, like, I know, I'm pretty sure in one of the Star Wars comics it said that, like, Obi-Wan used to leave toys for Luke at Shmi's grave. So, like, I kind of wonder, like, at what point did it get buried, and why did they bury it?
That's fair, yeah. I never really thought about that. It's actually a really good point.
And then, of course, the most exciting part of the story, when Vader makes his way to the planet Vendaxa. First, I thought it was hilarious that we got a Gungan.
Are we just going to skip Coruscant?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, okay. Okay, maybe that. Okay, the second most interesting part of the comic was when he went to Coruscant, and he went to Padme's apartment.
Can we just talk about the BDE that it is to have the door to your apartment be your own head? That is some big dick energy right there.
I'm wondering if like she did that herself, or if that was like kind of like in memoriam to her. I can't, now that you mention that, I kind of hope she did that herself.
I really hope she did that herself.
I wish like Padme was just like, I'm going to put my face on this door and you're all going to have to deal with it.
She's a boss ass bitch.
So like we see that like the apartment's pretty much been abandoned since her death. But someone, like someone has gone back, and someone, someone erased like any traces of them being there. So we're kind of left to wonder who was there. My money is on Sabe, who is one of Padme's handmaidens.
And Casey, why do you think that?
Okay, so
parlay that into the section you were so eager to get to.
Okay, you never finished reading Queen's Shadow, right?
I haven't even started it yet.
Okay, so now I'm going to have to, like,
you can know, it's fine, because I'm going to read it regardless.
Okay, so, like, at the end of Queen's Shadow, like, you know it takes place, like, right after she's done being Queen of Naboo, and it kind of deals with her, like, entering the Senate. So, like, the last chapter in the book, it might even be, like, the epilogue, but, like, the last part of the book is like after Padme has died, and like the funeral has happened, and Sabe, I don't know how many handmaidens are left at this point, but like Sabe is ready to like start investigating Padme's death. Like she's ready to like, I just picture her like going on like a John Wick like revenge tour around the galaxy.
We need that as a movie, because we can still get Keira Knightley to come back and play the role.
Yes. So, like, just as she's about to leave Naboo, she gets a call and it's Bail Organa. And she's like, Senator Organa, this is not a good time. And Bail Organa is just like, we need to talk and we need to do it in person. So, like, it doesn't explicitly say it, but I'm positive that, like, Bail tells her about Padme and who Padme really is. Because, like, she's probably, like, the other than, like, Yoda and, like, Obi-Wan and his wife, like, Sabe is probably, like, the only other person in the galaxy he can trust with that information. So, like, you're muted.
I was going to say, I think when you said Padme there, you meant Leia.
Yeah, Leia. So, like, I think that, like, that's, I think Sabe probably ended up going to, in my headcanon, she goes to Alderaan, and she is, like, in charge of Leia's security. Like, she is Leia's personal bodyguard.
Okay, and because I was super excited to parlay this episode eventually into just talking about all of Padme's handmaidens, we can touch on that in a second. But to finish up with the comic, we go to Vendaxa, we get a Gungan, like Casey was saying.
We get a Gungan.
Who
the only line he says is, "You got to evac. You got to evac." Which, before we get to, like, the really important part, that reminded me of a scene in the book Most Wanted by Daniel Jose Older, where Han kind of, like, he encounters a Gungan. And I think he was with Lando at that point. He's with, like, Chewie. And Han's like, don't worry, I got this. I know how to talk to these guys. And he's like, he starts talking like Jar Jar. He's like, Misa here to do this. And the Gungan's like, wait a second. I'm going to stop you right there. How many Gungans have you actually spoken to in your entire life? And he's like, yeah, what you're doing right now is kind of racist. So, like, oh my God, like,
that's incredible.
That's what I thought of in that scene when he was just like, you got the evac. And he just said it like a normal person. But okay.
Crew's gone.
So he is on Vendaxa. And he encounters someone that he thinks is Padme.
Hold up. Before we go any further, he's at Vendaxa because in the apartment he finds a bug, so to speak. And I'm assuming my context clues tells me that he traced the bug's transmitter to Vendaxa, I would assume.
Yes.
Okay.
I would assume that too.
And then he finds someone who
looks he just like Padme.
Who believes to be Padme.
Yes.
Who the droid thinks is Padme.
Yes. So.
And then we get a to be continued.
What is this? I mean, it can't be Padme.
I'm going to say is if they somehow come around and make it Padme, I will be livid.
I don't see how they could, like, realistically do that.
I agree, but I will still be livid.
The only thing I will say is that if they make it Padme, it better be a damn good explanation, and they better, like, give us that in the next issue. Don't drag that one out.
Agreed. I guess my biggest issue is I find it extremely hard to believe that if it really was Padme, at no point, even once Luke and Leia were adults like they are at this point in the movie, she would not ever contact them.
That's why I'm sure it's not Padme. I think it's Sabe.
I also think, to be honest, Vader probably would have, felt her in the Force at some point. That is my assumption, especially once he got to Vendaxa.
I mean, he certainly...
Just like he did Obi-Wan.
I mean, he's looks confused enough that he's sensing something in the Force. And he says, Padme? So, like, there's something to it. We're going to get our answer on March 11th.
That's too far.
I know that's too far. That's over a month away. We're recording this on February 10th. That's over a month away. Who do you think it is?
I agree. I think it's Sabe.
You think it's Sabe? Okay.
I think it's Sabe.
What do you think she's been doing for the last 22 years?
All right. So before we get into all that, Casey, we're going to take a little trip back in time. We're going to do a brief history to kind of explain, I guess, some background information as to why Casey and I believe it is Sabe. I did some research today. This was all courtesy of Wikipedia, a couple books, and the Star Wars official website. So in the beginning there, Casey.
No, I was just going to say, if you don't know who Sabe is, Sabe was the handmaiden in The Phantom Menace who, whenever Natalie Portman was not being Amidala, it was Sabe, played by Keira Knightley.
Yes.
Please continue.
Okay, in the beginning, when she is queen, there are five handmaidens. You have Sabe, and I don't know if I'm saying these other names correctly, Rabe, Irite, Sashe, and Yane. And as Casey was saying, Sabe is indeed the most frequently disguised as Queen Amidala when Padme is not. Padme and Sabe worked together to develop a voice for Amidala that was different than Padme's own voice to help add another layer to the deception. In addition to that, they also were able to communicate by hand signals unbeknownst to them. So when their roles were switched, Padme could still, you know, communicate to Sabe what was to be said and done.
Go ahead. They also had, like, code words and code phrases.
Yes.
You saw this in The Phantom Menace, whenever Qui-Gon suggests that they go to Coruscant. It's Sabe as Queen Amidala. Padme says, what was the line? We are strong, we are brave, Your Highness.
Yes.
Saying we are brave was Padme's way of saying, yeah, go along with this.
Yeah. So as Casey pointed out, Sabe was played by Keira Knightley. And a fun fact was that there was such a close physical match. Like, her and Natalie Portman at that age looked so similar that when they were full up in costume and everything, their mothers could not discern which one was which when they were in costume.
I've always loved that fact.
To get into a little bit into the other ones, you had Rabe, who, after Padme was no longer queen and she joined the Senate, Rabe actually went and studied music at a prestigious academy. Basically, you know, continued to live her life out of the spotlight in the political realm. Irite had blonde hair, and so the two of them were very obviously Irite could only masquerade as Padme if she had the headdress and whatnot on, because blonde and brown hair, opposites. She apparently pursued a love of art and science. You have Sashe, who entered politics because she was inspired by Padme. And the two of them frequently, according to the Star Wars website, would debate politics and whatnot together. Yane, like Sashe, so they both stayed at Naboo. Where Sashe helped in Naboo's politics, Yane devoted time to helping Naboo's orphans. And Sabe is the only one to have stayed with Padme when she became a senator, which is important. So excluding, once she becomes a senator, she actually gets 6 new handmaidens, excluding Sabe. They are Corde, who is the most well-known of them, I would say. She was the one who died in the beginning of Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, when the bomb blew up Padme's ship.
She might be the only one to get a name in the movie. In the movies, I think.
Dorme does, too.
Does she? Okay.
Yes. So... Okay, yeah, and the bomb, the starship was bombed in retaliation to try to stop her from voting from the Military Creation Act. Another one of the handmaids was Verse, who I don't think we really see her at all in the films. But from what I understand, she is a niece of Merik Panaka, who recommended her for the Senate's new cohort of handmaidens. She was an expert splicer, and she also died in that same explosion as Corday. So, two handmaidens killed in one explosion. Then the other one who had their name actually said in the movie was Dorme, I believe. I believe she had her name spoken in the film. We see her frequently after Corday's death in episode 2. She is the handmaid that rushes to Padme in the middle of the night whenever the slugs are killed by Anakin.
Yeah, okay.
So she was trained and recommended personally by Commander Typho, who we're familiar with. Okay, so after multiple attempts on Padme's life forced her to return to Naboo in episode 2 with Anakin, Dorme remained behind on Coruscant with Typho in an effort to make the enemies think the Senator was still there, which we know from the film. So they had a stand-in pretending to be Padme in Coruscant throughout episode 2. The other one that we had was Tekla Manau, who accompanied Padme on a mission to Scipio, where she was killed by a bounty hunter. We have Duja, who died on Batuu while investigating a separatist factory. And this happened after Corday and Verse's deaths, that death happened. And
I believe that was the second Thrawn book where that happened.
Okay. And then we have Carta. Not much is really known about her, except that a bounty hunter stole her identity to get to Padme at some point during the Clone Wars. And then there is Moti and Ellie, who were in episode 3. Moti accompanied Padme to the speech where Palpatine named himself Emperor. Ellie had scenes as well, but they were cut from the movie, but she is in the novelization. And they are two of the last handmaidens to serve Padme leading up to her death in the final days of the Republic, because at this point Corday had become more involved in the other goings versus just solely being Padme's bodyguard. She had become more involved in the politics and all that kind of stuff as well. And I believe it was said that she was actually off world at the time where Anakin turned in Padme's death. She wasn't even in Coruscant or anything, where was not there. She was actually off world at behest of Padme, I think doing something for the Senate, if I recall correctly. But you pointed out that you have the headcanon that Sabe met Leia. I got good news for you, Casey.
What'd you find out?
That's apparently canon. And this is pulled from Wikipedia. I can't remember the exact source that they got it from. But it said that after the conclusion of the Clone Wars, Sabe continued to serve the eventual successor to Padme in the Senate, which was everybody's favorite Gungan, Jar Jar Binks. How he magically gets on the Senate is mind-blowing to me.
I mean, he managed to win a representative race, so I'm sure
that still mind boggles me.
I'm sure Palpatine engineered that. I mean, like, Jar Jar was responsible for making Palpatine the Emperor, so like Palpatine's probably like, "Eh, this guy's useful. I'm going to keep him around."
Fair, fair. Okay, so, she, as you said, is suspicious of the circumstances regarding Padme's death. She meets up with Bail Organa, and enters the her service to his house. She is employed as an envoy to establish resistance cells across the galaxy, gather and spread information, and handle the distribution of material to said rebel groups. She also had the opportunity to interact with young Princess Leia Organa and her friend Winter. Sabe tutored them. She tutored Leia in matters of court etiquette, diplomacy, and she also tutored Winter in security and bodyguard tactics. And these two skills would both likely greatly serve them as agents to the Alliance to restore the Republic. So she basically joined the Rebel Alliance at the behest of Bail Organa. So it would make sense that we could find her at an outpost. And we know that your headcanon is true. She actually helped tutor Leia.
So my headcanon about her becoming like the head of Leia's like security isn't quite right, but the rest of it is.
Correct.
Now I wonder if she knows who Leia is, because I'm guessing it doesn't say, right?
It does not specify, but I would bet you
money. I can picture, like, so based on where she was mentally whenever, like, we last saw her in Queen Shadow, I can imagine her initially refusing to join the rebellion. Like, I can picture, like Organa, like, just to be safe, probably doesn't tell her right away. Like, they don't meet up and he's like, hey, you'll never guess, like, what just happened. Like, I'm sure, like, he's playing that pretty close to the chest. And then, like, after she, like, initially refuses to join the rebellion, I'm sure he was probably like, okay, look, this is what's really going on. This is who my adopted daughter is. Like, you've got to do this for Padme, please. Like, I can picture that being... I'm getting chills just thinking about that.
At the same time, I could easily see... him almost using Leia almost as the push to get her to join the Rebel Alliance. I think he could easily would be like, join us, join the Rebel Alliance, and she could be like, no. And then he's like, okay, well, if you won't do it for me and you won't do it for the Republic, then do it for Padme to protect her daughter. Like, and tells her the truth and is honest and is like, look, like, this is Vader's child. The Emperor is going to, if the Emperor ever finds out or finds her, you know, likely will kill her or who knows what. I could easily see that as convincing Sabe that she needs to do what she did for Padme in the beginning and protect Leia ultimately.
Did you know that the Emperor, like, came close to finding out about Leia before, even like before the events of A New Hope, when she was like just, yeah, like when she was just starting to enter into like diplomatic life, when she was like a junior senator, she went.
Yep, they talked about it in the Leia book.
Yes, exactly. When they go, I'll tell the story for the listeners since you know about it. They go on, like, so Leia goes on this, like, diplomatic mission to Naboo. And I can't remember what the circumstances were, but she had the dress in, like, one of Padme's old gowns, but it was, like, a gown very similar to what Padme would wear. And she was in the makeup and everything. And the person that she met with was Panaka, who at this point is, you know, he was like the Moff of Naboo. And like, because of the way she was dressed and like the resemblance she has, like, he recognizes her. And he starts like asking her like all the questions about like the circumstances, like around like her birth and her adoption and how old she was and everything. And like, yeah, he was going to report that to Palpatine and then like conveniently was assassinated by Saul Guerrera's rebels right there. Like, I'm a sucker for like any type of story like that. Give me a story that.
Yes, it's great.
Like anything like that. Anything that like calls back to like Padme and like just like anything that like kind of like teases Leia like almost finding out about like her like who her like real like parents are like before it actually happens in the story. Like total sucker for that.
I think like part of me enjoys like stuff like that where Leia almost finds out and it's because of Padme, not because of Anakin. I like that so much because Padme honestly really does feel like a forgotten character. Like,
it's a shame like George Lucas didn't think about her until like he started writing the prequels.
Yeah. And even beyond that, like, we don't get a tremendous a lot of her outside of that, which is why I was so excited with the Queen Shadow book and when it came out a couple years ago, because it was uncharted territory. It was something we haven't gotten or hadn't seen because we see so little of Padme. So I was a big fan of that like little storyline in the Leia book. It was really good.
Let's do a little what if. We haven't done a what if question in a while.
Oh, snap.
What if instead of Vader finding out Luke was his son, what if he found out Leia was his daughter? Because I think that, like,
he would be turned back to the light side a hell of a lot faster, or he would be killed, one of the two.
Yeah. Because, like, you know,
he would either do it or turn him.
And do you think, like, he finds out Leia is his daughter, it immediately, like, brings him back to Padme in a way that, like, Luke doesn't? I think that, like,
yes,
when he finds out about Luke, he sees, like, his son. I think if he found out about Leia, he would have seen Padme's daughter.
Yes, 100%.
Too bad we never got that story. That would have been interesting.
That would be incredible.
I wish Lucasfilm would do, like, alternate history comics. Like, they did that back in the Dark Horse days. I wish they would do those again now.
That would be awesome. Although, when you pointed out, you know, Sabe all John Wick-esque, give me a Disney Plus series of that.
I would 100% watch that every week.
Like, Sabe, Keira Knightley, obviously, bring her back for the role. Disney has the money to throw at her. Bring her back, even if it's for, like, just one season, like, do a limited series thing. One season of her trying to hunt down or, like, figure out what happened to Padme and end it with her going to meet up with Bail Organa to join the Resistance. Her seeing baby Leia. Black screen, cut to black. Roll credits. Done.
She looks like Natalie Portman still. Like, she can do a, you know, she still resembles her.
Yeah, I mean, it's enough, too, that nobody would overtly question it a tremendous amount. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because when she was truly her, you know, her bodyguard 9 times out of 10, like, when she was impersonating her, they were in heavy makeup and, like, headdresses and gowns and whatnot.
All right.
Different than what we're seeing in the comic.
Because in the comic, I mean, let me pull up that. Yeah, I mean, in the comic, she looks like, she kind of looks like Attack of the Clones Padme when she's fighting
with the braid knot.
Yeah, when they're fighting, like, the things on Geonosis minus.
Yep.
Minus, like, the tear in her shirt that, like, showed her, like, stomach.
This is the winter version.
Yeah. So where do you think this comic goes from here?
I really hope it's just a whole lot of Sabe telling Anakin that he is a piece of shit. And that Padme would be absolutely mortified by what he is doing.
Do you think, okay, I'm just going to assume that, like, if not all of the handmaidens knew about Padme and Anakin, I would think, like, Sabe at least would be one of the ones who did know.
Agreed.
And do you think Sabe knows that Anakin became Vader? Because Bail Organa knows.
Then it's possible.
It's possible. Now, does he keep that from her because he's afraid that, like, she's just going to, like, go off and try to kill him? Or does he, like, tell her and trust her with that information so she knows? So she's going to confront him right now.
I'm going to roll with my head canon of that he tells her and trusts her with that information because he knows that if she knows, then she knows that there is a real threat to Leia.
Yeah, okay.
Padme's daughter. So I think that she knows.
March 11th cannot come fast enough.
Truly, I'm very impatient now.
At least we are going to get the Kylo Ren comic this week.
We can discuss that next week.
Absolutely. Great. Do we have anything else for this week?
No, I don't think so.
All right. I think I'm good too. All right. Everyone, thank you for listening. You can follow me at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sith Giggles Pod. Krista?
I'm also on Twitter at Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E, 3 R's. Feel free to shoot us a comment, leave a review if you like the podcasts, rate us.
Let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about.
That too.
All right. You can check us out on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spreaker.com. Everyone, thanks for listening. Bye.